The truth of the new covenant is for me. Do you know there's a verse that we often quote? You would think I would know what it is, but I kind of don't. From Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. Does anybody know that?
He knows the plans he has for us.
For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to what? Prosper. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Plans for good.
Yep.
And you know what God said after that? But I can't carry out my plans for you. Why? Because I'm in covenant with you. You got to read the rest. You got to read the rest. I'm in covenant with you. You guys made a covenant with me. I can't break my covenant. I have to keep my covenant. I wanted you to remain in the Abrahamic covenant of grace, but you said, no, no, no. You tell us what to do and we'll do it. So we entered into a covenant that you demanded, that the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, the writer of Hebrew tells us in chapter 10 that he did not want, nor did he take pleasure in it. But you see, he's the God of covenant. So he knew what his plans were. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew he wanted to prosper his people. He didn't want Jerusalem to be besieged. He didn't want his people to be overcome. He didn't. So why did he allow it? Because he was in covenant. You follow what I'm saying? So now I know the plans he has for me. And you know what those plans are? The Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I have given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. They are yours. Why and how? Through this new covenant. This new flawless and perfect covenant that was forged between me and my son. Flawless and faultless, and it can't be broken. You just enter into this, where all the promises are yes and amen, simply by believing in my son, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't have to do anything? Believe in my son, Jesus Christ. There's no work that I need to do? Believe in my son, Jesus Christ. And believe that I have made you to be in his exact image and likeness. I'm in his exact image and likeness? Yes, I made you into his exact image and likeness. So you mean I shouldn't speak down about myself? No. My son Jesus would never speak down about himself. And I would never speak down about my son Jesus. Us preachers, we got to get it right. We got to know what covenant we're living in. We got to know what new creation realities are, and we have to start teaching them to the people. You're united with Christ. You're one with Christ. You're one spirit with Christ. As he is, so are you. I am, I can, and I have. Now, you know how you screw it up? By frustrating the grace of God. How? By thinking righteousness is up to you. By thinking the promises and the blessings and the provision is up to you and what you need to do. See? Then that doesn't make it faultless and flawless. That gives it the same fault the covenant before it had. And the covenant before it had a fault and a flaw, and it was me. I couldn't keep it. Man couldn't keep it. And that broke God's heart because he wanted to bless. He knew what his plans were. So now he creates a covenant where I can just bless. Why? Because it's about my son. It's about my son's work. It's about my son's sacrifice. It's about my son's offering. It's about what my son did. He fulfilled all. He satisfied all. He accomplished it all. He did it all. Just put your faith in him. Oh, but you still have a responsibility. Oh, but you still have a work you need to do. Oh, but you still have some things you need to do. Oh, you still have to pursue. Wait a second. You're telling me that I need to put myself in the equation that God removed me from. And I'm not gonna do it. And I'm not gonna let them tell me I need to do it. So I plead with you to not let them tell you you need to do it. You are fully justified. You have been fully glorified. You have God's full approval. You have been qualified to qualify for all the blessings, period, because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm so excited about this book. The two greatest forces in the life of a believer, love and righteousness. This book is filled with all the power verses on God's love for us. And why is that important? Because faith is energized by love. You see, you can't work faith up. You can't determine to have faith. That would be a determination. That would be mental assent. Faith is energized by love. When you have a revelation of God's love for you, faith will be a fruit. This is filled with power verses on his love. I read it and I'm like, whoo, I've read it 6 times already and I wrote it. The second greatest force in the life of a believer is this righteousness. To know you are already righteous, period. That means you're qualified, period. Nothing you have to do to qualify, period. You know what you need? You need to believe you're humble, just like Jesus. You need to believe you're holy, just like Jesus. You need to believe you're righteous, just like Jesus. That's what's called putting on the new man. But when we're told you have to, then people set out to become in their own strength and in their own abilities. Oh yeah, then they get holy and they say, well, I'm allowing God's grace to help me. God's grace don't need to help you do anything because Jesus has done everything. So this is going to be available for purchase April 1st. Okay. Amazon, make sure you get it. Get several copies to pass them out. Amen. I'm already working on the next book. I can't wait. The next book is I Am. Because I Am told me I am. I can't wait for that one. So anyway, I do have a Palm Sunday kind of message here. And we're going to be looking at some scriptures. And I'm telling you, there's just so much you can speak on. And there's so many, you know, types and shadows and pictures in the accounting of Palm Sunday. But we're just going to be talking about a few of them. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And then verses 8 through 11. Now this is what it says. Now as they were approaching Jerusalem, they arrived at the place of the stables near the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, as soon as you enter the village, you will find a donkey tethered along with her young colt. Untie them both and bring them to me. And if anyone stops you and asks, what are you doing? Just tell them this. The Lord of all lords needs them. Oh, that's awesome, isn't that? That's beautiful. Yeah. The Lord. See, there are several words for Lord in the Bible. And some of them could just mean like a master or an instructor or a chief teacher. But this word that is used here where Jesus says the Lord has need of them. That word means the Lord of all lords. Wow, that's Jesus. That's amazing. And he will let you have them. That's amazing too. You need something? You tell that need. The Lord of all lords said to give it, said it's mine. All of this happened to fulfill the prophecy. I love that word fulfill, that's in front of the word prophecy, because that word fulfill means the crammed prophecies, the replete prophecies, which is amazing because there were so many prophecies about Christ, words about Christ that were being fulfilled, that were being fulfilled even at that moment, that were fulfilled prior to it, that were going to be, and they all missed it. Every single one of them missed it. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king arrives. He's coming to you full of gentleness, full of mercy, or full of peace. He arrives, right? Full of peace. Wow. Sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. So the two disciples went on ahead and did as Jesus had instructed them. Then an exceptionally large crowd gathered and carpeted the road before him with their cloaks and with their prayer shawls. Others cut down branches from trees to spread in his path. Jesus rode in the center of the procession, crowds going before him and crowds coming behind him. He was swarmed, and they all were shouting, "Bring the victory, Lord, Son of David. He comes with blessings of being sent from the Lord Yahweh. We celebrate with praises to God in the highest. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered Jerusalem. The people went wild with excitement. The entire city was thrown into an uproar. Some asked, who is this man? And the crowds all shouted back, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth." Now, you know, we've heard it spoken that, you know, here's the crowd all shouting Hosanna, Hosanna to the name of the Lord, all praising him, all worshiping him, all hailing him. And then 5 days later, now that same crowd was going to be saying, "Crucify him, crucify." It wasn't the same crowd. At that point of time, in that time of year, there was such an inflow and outflow of people coming and going and keeping and coming and going and coming and going. And the people that were in front of Jesus and Pilate were not the same people. They were part of the crowd that was raised up by the Pharisees and Sadducees and high priests to speak out against Jesus. So it wasn't the same crowd. This was the crowd of people who knew Jesus. Many of them probably were healed by Jesus, or they had family members that were healed by Jesus. And so they were honoring him. And the amazing thing about it was, on Friday night at 6:30, we're going to have a movie night here for all those that are interested. 6:30 Friday night, we're going to watch the movie Risen. And it's funny, one part of the movie, Centurion? He wasn't a centurion. He was higher than a centurion. But anyway, he was interviewing Bartholomew, you know, and Bartholomew said to him, "What are you worried about? Why does this man bother you? He didn't come to threaten Caesar. In fact, he preached, 'Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's.' There was no fight in him. There was only peace in him. And so, and you think about how Jesus comes. He's coming into this city, right? Where you think, wow, masses of people, masses of crowds. They probably could have easily overthrown the Roman guards at that time with all the people. But no, he came on a donkey. He came on a donkey. And in ancient times, when a king entered a city as a conqueror in warfare, he rode a large, usually white war horse. We see this in Revelation chapter 19, when our Lord will return in conquest. But when a king enters a city in peace and for peace, he would ride in on a donkey. See, Jesus wasn't the first one that did that. That was something that was known. And he would ride in on a donkey. And that is what our Lord did on the first Palm Sunday. He even mourned for Jerusalem because they missed that special day when their Messiah King came to them in peace and to bring peace. Remember Luke chapter 2, verse 14, when the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill towards man." This is what Jesus came to bring. 2,000 years later, he's still not at war with anyone. Jesus is still not at war with anyone. He still is all about love and mercy and peace. He entered Jerusalem to begin the path to peace. That was Palm Sunday. And in 5 days, he would make that peace a reality. Kind of like a Good Friday message too. It's all one message. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Beautiful verse. He who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. That's amazing. You see, next Sunday, when we celebrate Easter, we have a dual celebration here at this church. We always have a dual celebration. The first part of the celebration is, yes, our risen Savior, the empty tomb. The second part of our celebration is the fact of our being declared righteous. Now, the early disciples, they had no idea of that. They had no idea of that. It wasn't until the Apostle Paul came and he started preaching the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ that he revealed that when Jesus rose from the dead, that was God the Father declaring us righteous. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. I'll read it again. It's a beautiful verse. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. The very next verse. Therefore, having been declared righteous. See, we don't have to work. How do you work for something where you've already been declared to be? You see, that's amazing. You've already been declared to be righteous. Having been declared righteous then, by faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is where our qualification comes. That's where our approval comes from. That's where that's where being justified, just as if we haven't sinned or never sinned. That's where it all comes from. Faith in Jesus Christ. And I didn't uncover something. I have 30 pages of notes on righteousness. But the Lord keeps on showing me more things, okay? That this is the right lane, Len. This is the right lane, Len. This is the right lane, Len. My people are going to keep hearing about what they need to do or what they have to do, and all it's going to do is create guilt, shame, and condemnation. It's going to stop them from entering into their rest. It's going to stop them from the receiving the revelation of how much I love them and how much I've approved of them. They're going to be working their own righteousness. They're going to be by their own works trying to create, and they're going to be frustrating my grace. I get angry when man does that, Nina. It happens all the time. I got people telling me, I know I'm hearing what you preach, but I can't. I can't get it out. I can't get it out. I keep on thinking about what I need to do. I keep on thinking about what I'm not doing. I keep on thinking about what I need to do, how I have to do it, how I'm not doing it. But stop listening to what you're listening to. Stop listening to it. Isaiah chapter 53. Beautiful portion of scripture. When I say Isaiah chapter 53, most people think of verse 5. By his stripes you were healed. Which is a beautiful verse. I like the back end of the chapter. The back end. Starting with verse 10. I love the back end. Here's Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Starting with verse 10. It says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him. This is how Jesus, riding on the donkey, would bring peace. He came to bring peace, and this is how he did it. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the travail of his soul. This is the word that was uncovered by the Holy Spirit. The travail of his soul. Okay? He will see it and be satisfied. Who will see it and be satisfied? God the Father will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, by Jesus' knowledge, the righteous one, my servant will justify the many. As he will bear their iniquities, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Now, listen to this word. But the Lord, God the Father, was pleased to crush him. Here we go. God the Father pleased to crush him. Crush, that seems like a bad word in itself, right? But when you look up the Hebrew word, daka, okay, it means this, to crumble, to bruise, to beat to pieces, to break into pieces, to bruise him, to destroy him, to humiliate him, to smite him. So now, when you look at that definition, but the Lord was pleased to beat him to pieces, break him to pieces, bruise him, crush him, humiliate him, smite him. The Father was pleased to do that. He did that to Jesus. He did that to Jesus. It also said, he will render him as a guilt offering. They said, he will see his offering. Well, no, before that, he was to crush him. And then it says, putting him to grief. So he crushed him, and then he put him to grief. You know what the word grief means? The word grief means chalah. And it means to be made weak. It means to be made sick. It means to be made diseased. So it says here in the back end of Isaiah that God the Father was pleased to just about annihilate his son, rip him to shreds, put all kinds of disease on him, sickness on him. Why? As a result of the travail of Jesus' soul, God the Father would see it and be satisfied. Very important. God the Father would see what he put on Jesus and be satisfied. The word travail means work, labor, and toil. So this portion of Scripture is telling us that God the Father would look at Jesus, would crush him, would annihilate him, would put on him sicknesses, would put on him diseases, would look at his son's work and his son's labor and his son's toil, and he would be satisfied. Guys, that's powerful. That's amazing. Satisfied. And it says, and by his knowledge. Now that word isn't epignosis, our New Testament word. It's da'ath. And it means by his awareness, by his perception, by his understanding, by his discernment, by his wisdom. By Jesus' understanding and awareness and perception and wisdom, by his knowledge, by his understanding of knowing his sacrifice, his work, his labor, his toil of being beat to pieces, of being crushed, of being crumbled, of being humiliated, of his having sickness and disease put on him, his knowledge would know that we would be justified. We would be righteous. We would be healed, and we would be whole. And now you know why Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it tells us, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He came to make peace. He came to make peace. And that peace was made at the cross. He came to make peace, and through his work, and through his effort, and through his toil, and through his sacrifice, and through him being the offering for mankind, the Father was satisfied. Satisfied. So there's nothing we need to do to satisfy, because Jesus satisfied the Father. See, when you understand the glorious gospel, you can't help but fall more and more and more deeply in love with God the Father. You can't help it. And that's what this causes us to do. This is why the Apostle Paul said it's the loving goodness, it's the loving kindness, and it's the goodness of God that leads men to returning. All is accomplished through faith in Jesus Christ because he did the work. He toiled. He put forth the effort. So what was accomplished? And what is accomplished through faith in Jesus Christ? Forgiveness, redemption, deliverance, healing, wholeness, protection, and provision. All a gift of his grace, all by grace, a grace gift, that it might be by faith. And so on this Palm Sunday, I want to remind you of the fact that Jesus came riding on a donkey. He came to bring peace. He came to make peace between mankind and God the Father. And he accomplished that on the cross, where he met and satisfied every single demand that God the Father had. And God the Father was fully satisfied with his son's sacrifice and offering. And now, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are in total peace with God the Father. We stand before God the Father in total peace, totally made righteous, totally justified, totally qualified. Nothing, no work, no effort needed. All because of faith in Jesus Christ. That's our glorious gospel. Don't let any man tell you anything different. And if he wants to argue with you, give him Pastor Lenny's phone number. There are too many scriptures, especially from our new covenant of grace, that tells us about our true holiness and our true righteousness, all through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So Father, we worship you and we thank you. We thank you because Jesus said that no one comes to me except they be drawn by the Father. So we thank you, Father, that because of your grace, you've drawn us all to Jesus. And Father, we pray for those who we know, we've been praying for, we've been believing for them to make decisions, right? To follow Jesus Christ, to believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead, to make confession unto salvation. We have others we're believing for. So we thank you, Father, that we can just rest in the assurance knowing that you're not willing for any to perish. And so we know your grace will shine on them like it has shone on us. And we thank you. We praise you. We're praising you now for our loved ones because we know that very soon and very shortly they'll be saying, yes, I believe. And they'll be making confession with their tongues. We just thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. We thank you, Father, for all you've done, for all you've given. We thank you, Jesus, for all you've provided. We thank you. It's called finished works because it's finished. It's finished. There's no more work. Finished works means there's no more work. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you for it. And we thank you that now we get to live in all the promises and all the blessings and all the yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.